Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This Jesus, whom you have seen him go, would come in the same way as you have seen him ascended into heaven. My dear family of God, today Mother Church reminds all of us, all of her children, to concentrate on the missionary mandate that the risen Lord has entrusted to us. Beloved, this is not the time for us to stand up, looking up into the sky with no sense of hope, so that our vision and the vision of the church will not be brave. I think all of us will testify to this. When you stand in the heat of the sun and you look upwards, you receive a bright vision. And for you to regain your vision, you either have to rub your eyes with your hand or to wash it with water. This is the picture I get from the disposition of the disciples as Jesus ascended into heaven. They needed to be taught by the angels to look down in order to have a clear vision of what Christ has entrusted to them here on earth. It was a time for them to undertake every instruction given them by the risen Lord. My dear family of God, today in the gospel reading, the risen Lord entrusts that missionary mandate to his disciples and commissions them to go forth to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to observe all that he had commanded them. My dear family of God, this commissioning of the disciples by the risen Lord fulfills God's covenant oath to Abraham that all nations would be blessed, and he, being the father of all nations, through him God's blessing would flow to all the human family. My dear family of God, God creating man in his own image and likeness desired that the man and the woman created in his own image and likeness would continue to share and be part of his divine life and divine family. However, this privilege was lost through sin. But God, in his infinite love and wisdom, had another way of restoring man into this life of blessedness, in participating in his very being, as man possesses within himself that aspect of God, be the principle of life, the breath of life, or the image and likeness of God himself. This was an invitation to man to have a share in that spiritual family of God himself, a life of God and a family of God. My dear family of God, God outlining his plan of salvation pointed to us that in the waters of baptism, the human race shall be restored into this family life of God. And therefore, Saint Matthew, in proclaiming the great commissioning of the disciples, entrusted with a missional mandate to make disciples of all nations, emphasizes that administering the sacrament is essential to the church's mission and our human response to God's calling to be reunited and to have a share in his divine family. And therefore, today the risen Lord established the form for the celebration of the sacrament of baptism, that those who would come to faith in the preaching of the apostles be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. My dear family of God, this Trinitarian formula for the sacrament of baptism points to that creative intention of God that the human race would forever have a share in God himself, and that God through human agent would also confer his blessings on the whole of humanity. And so, choosing Abraham, he gave him the promise that through him all nations shall be blessed. It says to us that Jesus today commissions the apostles to undertake that missionary mandate of evangelizing the whole nations and bringing them to that life of blessedness given to Abraham in that covenant oath, that the whole of humanity will become the true heirs of God's benediction, of God's blessing. My dear family of God, it is from the sacrament of baptism that each and every one of us receive our calling to become channels and vessels and instruments of God's blessing to his human family. And so all of us, by virtue of our baptism, we have been given that missionary mandate to make disciples of all nations. And so we are baptized and sent forth to proclaim the mysteries of God's kingdom for the salvation of the world. My dear family of God, Jesus, knowing that the church would undergo persecution, gives the church that blessed assurance of his abiding presence with the church. Behold, I am with you till the end of the age. My dear family of God, it is so interesting and profound to recall that Matthew gives us this reassuring presence of God with his people. If you remember, Matthew opens his narrative on the birth of the Messiah by giving us two divine names, that Jesus would be the son to be born, will be called Jesus, for he shall be the one to redeem his people from the bondage of sin. So Jesus, pointing to Yeshua, the Savior, God is our salvation. He is the one who comes to redeem and save us from sin. The second name given to him as his messianic name is that the Blessed Virgin Mary will give birth to a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Taken from the prophecy of Isaiah in chapter 7, Isaiah prophesied that a virgin shall conceive and give birth to a child, and that child shall be called Emmanuel. In the text of Isaiah, the Emmanuel name is not explained, but Matthew takes up this divine name and gives us a deep meaning that God is with his people. So he begins the birth narrative of Christ with that divine name, that messianic name. The child to be born shall be God being with his people. And today, so profoundly, he concludes his gospel with the same messianic name. For I shall be with you till the end of the age. Beloved, in biblical texts, we have what he called an increasio. An increasio is a word that opens a verse and also ends a verse. Or a word that opens a chapter and ends a chapter. By that increasio, it tells you that the whole content of that passage is about that single word. And so with that background, my interpretation of this text is that the whole of Matthew's gospel is to reveal to us that God is a God of our human history. God is never absent from our human history. He is actively involved and is part of us. Be it in joy or pain, he does not exempt himself and he is never absent. And this is to give that reassuring, abiding presence of God with the church. We are never alone. He knew that the church would undergo and experience persecution. In order not to give up in the face of threat, in the face of tension, in the face of challenges, he gives his assurance that he is ever with his people. Beloved in Christ, when we go back to the Old Testament times, anyone whom God called and chose and assigned to a divine mission, if there was any promise made to that person, it was the promise of God's presence with his people. Beginning with Prophet Jeremiah, in his call, God revealed to him that he's being sent forth to a difficult people, people of hardened heart, but he should not shrink in the face of them, because he, the Lord, will be with them, and he has made him a pillar and to fortify his city. In the same way, when Moses was called, in his own hesitation, giving reasons in order not to respond to the call extended to him, God gave him that assurance. When Moses asked him, "You have been telling me to go with your people, but you have never shown me who will go with me." And the Lord revealed to Moses, "My presence shall go before you. I will go before you." That divine presence has always been with his people. And this is what Jesus proclaims to us. My dear family of God, as being baptized and sent forth, the Lord knows what is ahead of us, that we may have good times and bad times. But in difficult times, we should know that we are never alone. There is a story of the footprint of Jesus Christ, who at the beginning of a journey assured his servant that "I will never abandon you. I shall go with you." With that assuring words, his son began his journey on the seashore. At the beginning of his journey, indeed, he saw the footprints of two people, and that gave him a sign of hope that he was never alone on that journey. Along the line, one footprint started fading away, and he began to panic on his journey. Why has the Lord deceived me? He promised to be with me, and he began this journey with me. Where is he? I can only see one footprint, and that is my footprint. Is God that deceptive? So this child losing faith in the presence of God began to lament and lament and lament. And at a point, he saw the second footprint once again. And he wondered, who is this God who has promised to journey with me? In difficult times, he leaves me. In good times, he comes to me. And the Lord spoke to him. What are you saying? Whenever you saw a single footprint, that footprint was never yours. It was mine. For I was carrying you on my shoulders, and that your foot was not touching the ground because you were treading on a dangerous zone. I sacrificed my life and put my life on the line in order to save you. My dear family of God, at times in life, we experience such loss of faith in God. In difficult times, in moments of suffering, we think that God has abandoned us. But today, he tells us he is forever with us. For the God of glory is also the God of suffering. And in most times, he carries our sufferings in order to give us hope and to give us life. You are never alone in this earthly pilgrimage. You are never alone on your spiritual journey onward heaven home. God is always with us. In our sickness, in our pains, God is never absent. He is that perfect student who never misses a class. He is always present, and he's always the first to be in the classroom. God journeys with us in all situations. This is the assurance that Matthew gives us. He is the Emmanuel God, God being with his people. And so today, he invites us in every missionary mandate entrusted to us, in our various capacities, as parents, as people called to the priesthood, as Christ faithful, baptized and sent, in undertaking our duties, we should always be mindful of his divine presence with us. God is with you, God is with me, God is with us, and God is with his church. In all situations, he is part of our experiences. He is actively involved and not passive. May the Lord who has called us into this celebration, giving us that glorious hope that where the good shepherd has gone before us, one day we shall also be with him. Together with the church in heaven, you will celebrate in that unceasing song, glorifying God for the salvation accomplished for us. May the feast of ascension always give us hope in life, for God is always with his people. May he bless us in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.